We have been studying end times. There's several topics we haven't yet addressed. Israel, for one. The bride, we really haven't. Today, we're going to address a tough one, the man of sin. In the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, it talks about the Almighty shortening the days. Mark chapter 13, beginning in the 17th verse. Now the world will tell you when the rapture occurs, all the babies are going to be gone. I can't say that. Nice thought. Verse 17, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, and that's where we see who done the choosing, he hath shortened those days. And then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. What is the goal of the man of sin? Well, what was his goal when Christ was born? Herod had all the children murdered. He wants to wipe out humanity, actually. He tried to have Moses murdered. We read in the book of Revelation about this man of sin, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, saying, behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, and to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations, and caught up with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into the God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Sounds like about half the tribulation. And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death, unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's what those will have to look forward to that are not taken out in the rapture. If time was permitted, man would be wiped out. But as we've done read, or have already read, the Almighty shortens those days. The Old Testament has a great deal to say about end times also. In Isaiah chapter 13, beginning in the 13th verse, therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, as a sheep that no man taketh up, and they shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one to his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed in pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Now, a lot of these prophecies talk about things that Israel endured, but a lot of them also point to end times. Staying there in Isaiah, this 13th chapter, verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come from the destruction of the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. And they shall be amazed at one another, and their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel with the wrath of, and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their iniquity, and the wicked for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Does not sound like a time that I would want to be any part of, or thing that I would want to be any part of. Turn over to the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter. I've been holding off on getting into the center of the book of Revelation. One reason, when you're raptured out of it, you won't experience it, be at the judgment seat of Christ. But there's many going to experience it. Revelation chapter 6, I believe, is an overview of pretty much the whole tribulation period. And when I saw the Lamb, verse 1 of Revelation 6, open one of the seals, doesn't say which one, it says one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, Christ is mentioned in Revelation 19 with many crowns and a name that no man knoweth. This man's unnamed. He doesn't return. Doesn't tell about any victory either. Just says it was given to him. A bloodless conquest, some may call it. A white horse. It looks good to the world. This is the man of sin. It's the way he starts out. Look at Hitler. Twice the man of the year. What did he leave Germany in? The same type that this man leaves it in. Death and destruction. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He rides upon, showing himself to be a great one. He goes forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard a bit, the second beast, come and see. There went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Like I say, Hitler is a good type of all this. But that's what happens when you leave the wicked free reign, or give them free reign. Death and destruction. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Commerce. And I heard a voice of the in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. That was a man's daily wages. I believe it's the denarius. It says here the choinix. I probably can't pronounce that right. Measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil nor wine. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given to them over the fourth part of the world to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. 1/4 die. Over in the 9th chapter, which we'll look at later, a third of them die, which take, he had 4 people to begin with on the earth. First one is gone, leaving 3. One of them is gone, leaving 2. That's half the people are going to die during the Great Tribulation. With hunger and death, with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony that they held. Now, during the Great Tribulation, it's the last 7 years, many are going to die, this pointing to them. So, like I say, this is an overview, in my opinion, of the book, well, the tribulational period. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And we made mention before, this is Daniel's 70th week, which the law is back in order. And we're to love our enemies from the Christian during this reign of grace. Well, it's obvious that the reign of grace is over by this time. It's back under the law. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Verse 11, And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, or a little season, until their fellow servants, and also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun was black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of the mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. The story's over. That's, like I say, it's an overview. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The Lamb opens these seals to rid the world of the unlawful usurpers, to vindicate righteousness, and some of the other passages, to bring Israel to receive their Messiah, to possess the land which he has purchased with his own blood. How much scripture deals with end times? A vast portion of it. Over in the book of Daniel, Daniel has a lot to say. End times. Daniel chapter 11, this is called the Willful King. We'll take up in verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. It's going to come to pass. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, some look at that desire of women, homosexual, possibly. The desire of women, the God of women, some say. Nevertheless, Scripture says what it does. Nor regard any God, and he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his father knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Self-will. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. and he shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasuries of gold and silver, and over the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore shall he go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now Daniel wrote about a time that happened during, I believe, what's called the 400 silent years, Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, who was a type of the man of sin. We're going to look at several types of him. Hated the Jews, sacrificed a hog, I believe, upon the altar. Some of the Jews, too, from what I understand. He was a willful king. And he came to an end without any aid. He was only a type of what's coming. And he was a brutal man, but he was nothing in comparison to what's coming. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come they falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He hasn't been revealed yet. And we've already read that if possible, the elect of God could be deceived by him. He's going to be slick. The son of perdition. Keep that in mind. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that it, as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We think about the mark of the beast. It's in Revelation chapter 13. Who in their right mind would want it? A lot of people will take it gladly. Look at tattoos, for example. People don't have a problem with getting them. That's a mark. No man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Like I say, are people not thinking? You go on and read the full account, what happens to those that take the mark. They have no hope of salvation. They've lost it. It's over. He will build himself a palace, showing himself that he is God. We know that the temple has to be rebuilt, and there's confusion over the temple, but Christ made it plain not one stone would be left upon another, so that wailing wall has to be a Roman garrison. In John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, Christ said he came in the Father's name, and they received him not. But he also goes on to say it's in John chapter 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. The world is looking for the answer to all its problems. Whoever gives them what they want, who they're going to declare to be God. That's pretty much I tell you what, I've heard an evolutionist say, give me one piece of evidence, one bone, I'll take that over all these other writings. Of course, unbelievers, what they are. They're going to get that person that's going to give them that one piece of evidence. They might make it up, it might be fake, but they'll give them what they want. The world is looking for this man of sin. Back to the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Daniel is told he's wiser than thou, O Daniel, in one place, and Daniel could interpret dreams. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He's going to have the power of the wicked. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in heart, and peace by peace shall destroy many, and shall stand up against the prince of princes, but shall be broken without hand. Which brings us to another real interesting type of the Antichrist. Turn to 2 Samuel. The name Absalom means father of peace. Well, you can name someone peaceable, but does not mean that they are. 2 Samuel chapter 18. We know Absalom, well, he stole the hearts of the people, for one. Take it one step at a time. When somebody had a grief, they needed to settle a few, whatever you want to call it. They'd have to I'm in the wrong chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Thought something looked strange. Verse 18. I can't help but notice 18:3-6. The 18th verse, the 3-6. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, and which is the king's dell, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance, and called the pillar after his own name. He came in his own name. And it is called to this day Absalom's place. This man is a very good type of the man of sin. When one would have a cause, he would say, if there was somebody to let me rule, I'd do it all right. Another type of the man of sin. In the book of Joshua, Adonai Zedek, master of Jerusalem, was what his name meant. Now, we mentioned him a few weeks back, how he made war with the Gibeonites. And he went and fought against them and lost. The name sounds like a godly name, but he was not the master. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, in verse 10, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way up to Beth Horon, and smote them even to Azekah and to Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. Sounds just like what we read in Revelation. And they died. There were more which died with the hailstones than they which whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. And then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. A lot of typologies about this man of sin. And people will still, if it was possible, the very elect of God could be deceived by them. Going back to the book of Revelation, the balance is mentioned commerce. We determined last week what God hates. Merchandising. Merchandising was not part of the Garden of Eden. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 3-7, alludes to the sixth chapter book of Revelation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For the nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places." Sounds a lot like what we read there in Revelation chapter 6. Back to the four horses. They never return. Like I say, I don't see enough about the first horseman to associate him to being Christ. Christ is followed by armies on his saints. The book of Jude says, "Cometh with 10,000s of his saints." In the book of Lamentations, it talks about the color of the famine. And there's throughout Scripture bits and pieces. I'll go read the Lamentations chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, Lamentations book right after Jeremiah. In the wrong book again. Lamentations verse 4, "They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were meat in the destruction of their daughter of my people." There is a period of time during the Great Tribulation for 5 months, nobody dies, enhancing the grief. The two witnesses of Christ we read of in Revelation, the 11th chapter. We'll look at that probably more in our next lesson. But they have the power to shut up heaven that it rain not. What's that going to do for crops? "I'll give power unto my two witnesses," verse 3 of chapter 11, "and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, cloth in sackcloth." These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks, which are standing before the God of the earth. "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this same manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and to have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." And that's what they'll do until their testimony is up. We've already read chapter 6 concerning the day's work for your daily food. Presently, it's a well-known fact that that's what China pays. They pay you food and housing. A day's work for what you eat. The present population of the earth is 8 billion. A fourth of that, which would die during this time that we read of in Revelation 6, is 2 billion. Like I said, There's a third of those that are left, which leaves it at one half, which is 4 billion. The body, well, go back and read it. Looking for the. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that set upon him was Death, and hell followed him, and power was given him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. The beast of the earth is another interesting one. They're going to be increased. Death and hell, we read about them being cast into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. Once again, something that nobody in their right mind would want to be any part of. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. These horsemen, you can't really put a name upon them because they're very figurative, but all points to the man of sin. The color of pale, the pale horse, is a color of a greenish color of a dead animal. Consider that death comes and claims a body, then hell claims a soul. Hell follows the fourth rider into the lake of fire. In Ezekiel chapter 14, which I probably should have started with, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 21, God's word speaks about his four sword judgments. Ezekiel 14:21, in the 21st chapter. It begins in verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job, which were the three most righteous men, merry men that walk the face of the earth, were in it, saith the Lord. They shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but shall but deliver their own soul by their righteousness. None need think that they're going to get it, gain heaven because of their name or pedigree. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem? The sword, the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6. That wasn't what I was looking for. It reads, so wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and a leper shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out from thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. There's no safe place left during this time. Now, I mentioned the mark of the beast there in Revelation 17. The Lord's righteous are also sealed. It goes back into the 7th chapter. Hurt not the earth, basically. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, verse 3 of chapter 7. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. The man of sin is a great counterfeiter. He's going to come up with his own mark. And that's what we call the mark of the beast. Is it real? You betcha it's real. We see it could easily come to pass one breath away from us now. That's how far off these things are from taking place. In their hands or in their head. Like I say, the craze with tattoos, I can't understand why people want them. Revelation chapter 9:4, and they commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing nor any tree, but only those men that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. God goes in one better. There's so many things we go on, goes on and on in it. And we're about out of time. Like I say, the man of sin is a wicked counterfeiter. He's going to have a mock resurrection where he dies. We'll look at that, Lord willing, in the next lesson. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Hey, we get the right page right. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, I believe we read this a minute ago. He's going to show himself to be as God. And how could anybody be deceived? Look down to verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. If you have to see a sign, you see what it's going to bring. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The Lord's people love the word of God. It is truth. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you into salvation. There are those out there that say that election's a farce because there's no actual wording where one's name is in the book of life, which there are. That's errant, but a man that was a Campbellite told me that, and I brought to mind this verse. God hath chosen you, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now, we began with Mark chapter 13, when it's speaking about the elect of God, whom he hath chosen. God's election, we want to see one of many things to be thankful to God about. It's that he loved us before time and sent his son to die for us, that he chose us before the foundation of the world. God promised Abraham that he would bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. All families of the earth would be blessed through him. That's all those things go through Christ. Anyway, we're really out of time. We'll take up where we left off, Lord willing, next time we meet.